Hello, friends. Guess what? We're having our super special September sale on Sleep Tight Premium through Supercast, and it ends this month. It's the perfect way to help you and your grown-ups ease back into the school year and make bedtime even more special for the whole family. With Sleep Tight Premium, you'll get ad-free episodes, extra stories each month, and for annual subscribers, a personalized birthday message from me. Plus, you'll unlock over 500 stories not available anywhere else, all while supporting the stories your family loves. Don't miss out. It's only for this month. Join us for more dreamy nights. Sign up at the link in our show notes or visit sleeptight.supercast.com. The Rat King by Patty Larson. After hearing her mom talk about an exterminator, Susan decided to go down to the basement to look for herself, to see what her mom was talking about. Once she got down there, she saw the rats and turned to run, but her sock caught and the door was locked. Tucker cannot believe he is trapped in his room again. He keeps checking the door, but every time it is locked. When his mom finally comes and opens the door, he cannot believe what she says to him. The Rat King, Chapter 7. Tucker paced his bedroom, leaping up onto the quilt that covered his bed, almost touching the cat face stained glass window with his nose, before spinning and returning the way he'd come, jumping down to return to the door before doing it all over again. He'd barely slept all night, trapped as he was by his mother's command, with only his father allowed to visit with his supper. "Everything will be all right," George had tried to tell him last night, though even Tucker's kind and caring orange tabby dad didn't sound like he believed it, glancing back over his shoulder and keeping his voice down, like he expected Cynthia to show up at any moment. "Everything will not," Tucker had said, angry all over again, his father leaving him to ignore the meal in favor of this endless pacing. He'd finally devoured the tuna left behind, if only to keep his strength up, napping twice through the night between rounds of back and forth from the window to the doorway, testing the lock from time to time to make sure it still kept him trapped here in his room. They refused to listen again. He paused in his latest pass to glare at the door, as though it would understand what he was thinking. "Again," he said out loud, like that might help. The door, however, didn't reply. "Susan is in danger," he said, voice growing to a shout, "and so is Cat City, and you won't listen." When the lock clicked a moment later, Tucker twitched in surprise. The door swung inward, his mother staring back at him from the hall outside his room. He held his tongue, despite wanting to continue to yell, now that he had her attention, because he knew it wouldn't do any good. "I came here to let you out," she said, voice harsh, amber eyes hard, her bushy tail thrashing. "But I can see you're planning to misbehave further." Tucker sat down, his own eyes narrowed in defiance. "I'm right about the rats. The council thinks otherwise. She sighed then, seeming to soften, and shook her head. I can't keep you locked up here, Cynthia said. I don't want to, Tucker. But if you continue to cause trouble, I'm worried what might happen. Wait, what did she mean by that? We're safe now. Her attempt to be soothing only made things worse. He wasn't a kitten to be talked down to. Please, Tucker. You're my only son. I couldn't bear it if... If what? Tucker caught his breath, a new fear making his fur stand on end. There's talk of banishment. Cynthia let out a soft exhale, her white coat shivering, amber eyes blinking slowly. I can't lose you over that girl, Tucker. I won't. Banishment? For warning the city about the rats? What were they thinking? Tucker's stomach fell to the pads of his paws, a horrible feeling drowning out everything but her sad stare. You have to stop now, she said, crossing the threshold and joining him, rubbing up against him, her nose nudging him gently. Please, Tucker, it's time for you to let go of this foolishness. She stepped back, his mother returning to the doorway. I've arranged for you to enter the employ of the council as a scribe, she said. Your days as a gatekeeper are over. Cynthia paused, letting that news sink in before she spoke again. Do as you're told, and all will be forgiven. Your new position begins immediately. With that, she left the room, while Tucker watched her go. A yowl of protest and despair hovered in his throat, but he smothered it. It took a very long time for him to swallow that need to protest, to argue and fight with his mother, with the council. But when he finally had himself under control, he stood and crossed to his door. Threat of banishment and loss of status weighed on his shoulders as he padded down the hallway to the kitchen where his parents waited. It was clear to him when he entered, the way they fell silent during what sounded like a hissing argument, that they'd been talking about him. Cynthia's softness had disappeared again, George's head hanging, his father refusing to meet his eyes. Whether the orange tabby was on his side or not didn't matter. George had no power here. And Cynthia's mind was clearly made up. As was Tucker's. Thank you, Mom, he said in a clear voice. I know what I have to do now. She blinked, surprised by his words and lack of argument. I'm so glad you see it that way, she said. If you'll excuse me, Tucker said, I'm going to go say goodbye to my gatekeeper friends before I have to report for my new duty. Cynthia exchanged a look with George, who shook his head before turning and leaving the kitchen, tail and whiskers low. She sniffed softly at her husband's departure before nodding to Tucker. I'm proud of you, she said. I'll see you at the council building shortly. Tucker left without another word, avoiding his father on the way out. But to his surprise, George was waiting for him on the front walk. Tucker, his dad's voice broke, one paw reaching for him, green eyes that matched his son's welling with tears. Excuse me, Tucker said, and bounded away, heading for the gate with his heart racing. He had very little time to follow through with his plan, after all, and one chance to get it right before they found out he had no intention of doing as he was told. He had to get to Susan. Then they could banish him all they wanted. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.